Listen to this great statement on faith. It says, in spite of all of our mistakes, shortcomings, weaknesses, and vices, if we can learn to live by faith, we will overcome everything else. We will achieve our goals in victorious living. What a great statement. Listen to it again. In spite of all our mistakes, shortcomings, weaknesses, and vices, if we can learn to live by faith, we will overcome everything else. We will achieve our goals in victorious living. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. As I mentioned this morning, Hebrews chapter 11 gives us many examples of faith and tells us a lot about faith, but it is here in Romans chapter 4 where God, through the Apostle Paul, has been telling us about the faith of Abraham, the faith that led to Abraham's salvation. It is here in Romans 4 that we fully come to understand what faith is. And what we need to understand is that most people don't understand what faith is. So if we can understand this passage of Scripture, verse 17 through 25 of Romans 4, then what this person said can be true of us. In spite of all our mistakes, shortcomings, weaknesses, and vices, if we can learn to live by faith, we will overcome everything else. We will achieve our goals in victorious living. In other words, what Jerry Falwell said, one of the great men of faith, is that if we will learn to trust God, we will get to where we all want to get, victorious Christian living. I want to give you seven things about faith tonight that if you will understand them, if we will all apply them to our lives, and I want you to know I'm still working on it, we will learn to trust God and learn to overcome everything in life. Number one, faith must have a valid content. Faith must have a valid content. Look with me at verse 17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed. The God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. Valid content. We hear people so often say, have faith. You know, you're trying to accomplish something, someone will come to you and say, have faith. You're going through difficulties in life, and someone will come to you and they'll say, have faith. And these people sometimes who say that don't even know God. You know, every so often you'll see someone who doesn't live according to the Bible on TV saying, well, you know, you just got to have faith. Well, what does that mean? We need to understand faith has to have a valid content, and there's only one valid content of faith. It's the Word of God. It's the revelation of God. I want you to notice in verse 17, the very first four words, as it is written. The content of Abraham's faith was the Word of God. If you're going to have faith, you have to hang your faith on the Word of God. If you are going to trust God to meet your financial needs, you have to go to God's Word and find the promise that says God will do that. If you are going to overcome sin in your life, you have to go to God's Word and find something you can hang your hat on that will give you the trust in God to help you to overcome the sin in your life. If you are going to live a victorious Christian life, you got to find what God's Word says about that area of your life and trust God for it. In Genesis 12 and Genesis 15, God told Abraham that he would have a child. The revelation of God, the Word of God to Abraham was, you're going to have a boy. And he believed God that he would have a boy. He didn't believe God he would have $10 in his pocket or believe God that he would have a third arm or a fifth eye. God said you're going to have a boy. That's what he believed God for. He believed God would make him into a great nation through that son. And he believed God would do that. See, the content of our faith has to be valid. And the only valid content of the Word of God, of faith, is the Word of God. Because it is the Word of God. It's not our feelings, it's not men's words, it's not anything else. Years ago, I was in a Wednesday night Bible study. And most churches have gotten rid of Wednesday night Bible studies and prayer time. And one of the men in this one that I was in stood up and said, you know, his mom was sick, and he stood up and said, I believe and I trust God that God's going to make my mom well. His mother died. There is nothing in the Word of God that said that his mother was going to get better. We just saw this guy on radio saying, you know, God's word guarantees that we're all going to heaven, right? The rapture was going to occur. The coming of Christ was going to happen. And if you saw his billboards, it said, the Bible guarantees it. Well, the Bible didn't guarantee it. If you are going to learn to live by faith, you must go to the Word of God and find things in the Word of God that you can trust God for. Now, unfortunately, when I talk to people about what they've read in the Bible during the week, so often people tell me, well, I really don't read the Bible during the week. Well, how in the world are you ever going to grow in your faith? Now, let me say, if you say that tonight, I really don't read the Bible much during the week. Okay. Start today. Open your Bible tomorrow. Open your Bible on Tuesday. Begin to search God's Word for things that you can find that will help you to live the Christian life. You know, the Bible says that wisdom, in the book of Proverbs, wisdom calls out. But you have to search for it as for hidden treasure. I wonder, are you going to God's Word and digging into God's Word for hidden treasure? Hidden treasure is not something you kind of fall over. It's something you got to look for. You got to dig. You got to find it. And if we're hardly even opening the book, how are we ever going to find the content that is valid in which we can learn to trust God? God said to Abraham, I'm going to give you a son, and through that son I will make you into a great nation. And Abraham said, okay, God, I believe. Secondly, faith must have a valid object. Faith must have a valid object. I want you to notice also in verse 17 of Romans 4. As it is written, I've made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed. Who did he believe? He believed God. The God who gives life to the dead. And calls things that are not as though they were. The object of Abraham's faith was God, the giver of the revelation, the giver of the word. When David went to fight Goliath, he didn't say to Goliath, I am a great fighter, I am going to kill you. He said to Goliath, the God who helped me defeat the lion and the God who helped me defeat the bear, he's the God who's going to help me kill you. Abraham did not have faith in the fact that he could produce a baby. He had faith in the fact that God could give him a baby. The object of his faith was God. Notice what it says here about God. He is the God who gives life to the dead. Think about it. This God who brings from nothing life. This God who takes things that are dead and brings them back to life. This is the God that we need to trust. He is the God, notice, that calls things that are not as though they were. He knows the future and he controls the future. Things that are not, he talks of them as if they are. That is why we can trust God. That is why we can believe him. We are not called, no one is called to believe what I say to you about the future. Because I don't know what will happen tomorrow other than what we find in the Word of God. So if we talk about the future, I tell you what God says about the future, but I don't have anything outside the Word of God. We trust God. The object of your faith has to be God. It can't be someone who talks good. It can't be someone who maybe you respect. It can't be someone who you look up to. The object of our faith can only be God. And that is why we can have faith. You know, when we're called to trust God to meet our financial needs, when we're called to trust God to help us with a sinful issue, when we're called to believe on God, we're called to believe on a God who brings things that are not and makes them and takes things that are dead and gives them life. Faith is not faith in itself, it's faith in God. Thirdly, faith is contrary to hope. It's contrary to hope, yet it rests upon hope. Notice verse 18. Against all hope, contrary to hope, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abraham believed God even though there was no chance in the world that he could have a baby. He was well up in years. And by the time he had the child, he was 99. You know, if there's something in your hand, there's no need for faith. You know, the Bible says that one day faith will disappear. One day there'll be no faith. Why? Because that which we've believed by faith, we will see. And if you can see it, you don't need faith. Faith believes that which we don't see, but we trust God to bring it to pass. That is what faith is. Gideon, with 301 men, believed that he would defeat an army of 160,000 men. Because God said he would. David faced a giant, even though he was a young boy, maybe 16, 17 years old, and won the battle because he believed God said he would. Abraham was past the point of being able to bear children, yet he believed God that he would have that child, even though he couldn't. For one reason. God said it. So it's against all hope. We don't need faith for something that somehow we could get in ourselves. We trust God for things that we can't do. Yet it rests on hope. Our hope is put in the Word of God. It is not our hope in hope, but our hope in God. Our hope that God always keeps His Word. We take God at His Word, we put a trust in His Word in spite of circumstances that surround us. That is what faith is. If you are an honest person and you tell people something, because you are honest, people will believe you. People will trust you because they know your character of honesty. You've never lied to them. You've always told the truth. So when you say something, people will say, well, you said it. You've always told the truth. I believe you. How much more so God, who has fulfilled every promise he's ever made and who has absolute control of the future? How much more should we trust God and put our hope in him? Now, number four, faith has a purpose. Verse 18. Faith has a purpose. Abraham believed God against all hope, and notice, and so became the father of many nations. The ultimate purpose of Abraham's faith was that he would become a father. Faith's purpose is to fulfill God's purpose. And God's purpose is to bring him glory. Faith's purpose is not to give you a happier life. Faith's purpose is not to make you feel better. Faith's purpose is to bring God glory. God's purpose in making Abraham or giving Abraham a child would be to make him into a great nation so that God would be glorified through the Jewish nation. Our faith is not to fulfill our own purposes, but his purposes. You know, when we talk about trusting God for our financial need, our purpose is so that we can pay our bills. That really ought not to be our purpose. Our purpose ought to be so that when our bills are paid, God gains the glory. And that is why Abraham became the father of a child who then became a great nation. The purpose of faith is not to make you or I great. It's to make God great. Its purpose is not to make life happy, easy, better. It is to bring God glory. So don't think, well, I want to learn to live by faith so that my life will go better. No, we want to learn to live by faith so when that people see us trusting God, he will gain the glory when he keeps his word. Number five, faith produces works. Faith produces works. Notice verse 19. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. What works did it produce? Well, notice the first one in verse 19. It said it defeated weakness. This word weakness is used of disease, of the physical body being ill. And when we use it figuratively, it talks about an incapacity, an inability, being incapable to do something, being weak. In this case, it's talking about faith, and it says, as Abraham trusted God, he did not weaken in his faith. Now, think about this for a moment. If you go back and look at all the numbers, it was 25 years before God fulfilled his word to Abraham. I think sometimes when God doesn't answer our prayer requests in an hour, we begin to doubt God. If God hasn't answered our prayer requests in a week, we're really getting shaky. You know, if a month goes by and God hasn't opened up the express window and handed out our espresso coffee, you know, we begin to wonder if God exists. 25 years. And every one of those years, as Abraham's waiting for God to give him a boy, he's getting older, and the ability or the chance that God could give him that child is becoming harder. So it's becoming more difficult for him to believe God, but yet it says he did not weaken in his faith. Faith defeated weakness. Think of Caleb. Caleb, when he was going in the promised land, along with Joshua, said, "Hey, look, we need to believe God. God said he will give us the land. Let's just trust God." And the other 10 spies gathered all the people up and got them into a mob mentality, and they almost killed Joshua and Caleb. And God said to Caleb, because you trusted me, I'm going to give you some land in the promised land. And then many, many years later, Caleb goes in the promised land. He turns to God and says, God, you remember you said you'd give me this land? I want it now. In fact, it was some 40 years before he got that land. But he trusted God for it. He believed God. Faith defeats weakness. Notice also in verse 20, it says it defeats wavering. The word waver here means to be divided in your mind. He didn't understand it all, but he did not waver. This verse will explain it. In James 1, it says this, but when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. That is, when we ask God for wisdom, because he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. The man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. So you're praying for something, but your head's kind of going back and forth. Trusting God. I don't know if God's going to do it. I'm trusting God, and I don't think God's going to do it. I'm trusting God. Well, I'm not sure. True faith defeats that. Faith says, God said it, I believe it. Period. Takes what God says and believes it. Let me give you an example. Hold your finger here in Romans 4. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. Verse 22. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side. Well, he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went out on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. You know the story. Peter got out of the boat and went. What did Peter have? He had God who said one thing to him, come. Valid content, the word of God. Valid object, God. What is faith? Faith is when we trust God for the thing that just can't happen. Let me ask you, when's the last time you walked on water? Well, as soon as Peter began to look at the waves and his faith was no longer faith, then he began to waver, then he began to get weak, and then things went downhill. Faith defeats all that. See, when there are things in our lives that we have to trust God for, faith says, God said it, I'm going to believe God. The opposite of faith is fear. The opposite of faith is worry. We got to take what God says and trust him. No matter what's going on around us, we must trust God. If what we are trusting God for was easy for us to get, then guess what? There's no need for faith. So what does faith do? Well, notice it strengthens. Go back to chapter 4, verse 20. It defeats weakness. It defeats wavering. It strengthens. To empower. Faith empowers. Faith makes us strong. Faith helps us to go through the challenges of life standing tall. Because we trust God. And then notice the fourth one. It glorifies God. At the end of verse 20 it says, and gave glory to God. His faith was strengthened and gave glory to God. You know, it always is, look what God has done. It's not look what I did. It's look what God has done. When God has done something great in our life or great in our church or great in whatever, it's look what God has done. Now, number six, faith must have knowledge. Verse 21, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he promised. This verse is so strong. Why did Abraham believe at age 99, almost 100, why did he believe that he could have a baby? This verse tells us. Abraham was fully persuaded that God had the power to keep his word. Those with great faith have great faith because they know God. Abraham knew God so well, he was fully persuaded that God could keep his word, that God would do what he said he would do. The more you know God, the better you know God, the greater your faith is going to be. Now, there's a difference between knowing God for salvation and growing in that knowledge and becoming really intimate with God. Abraham was fully persuaded that God had the power to fulfill his promise. Why do we doubt? It's real simple. We begin to doubt because we believe God's not going to keep his word. You say, wait a minute, I would never believe that. Yes, you do. When you begin to worry, when you begin to get nervous, when you begin to get afraid, when there's clear things we can trust God for, we are basically saying, I've lost my ability to believe that God will keep his word. He was fully persuaded, fully convinced, completely certain, fully assured that God would keep his promise. That's faith. Number seven. Notice verse 22. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words "it was credited to him" were written not for him alone, but also for you and I tonight. But also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. This is the faith that saved Abraham. Abraham believed God, and it resulted in God justifying him. Our faith, Abraham's faith, looked forward to Christ's work on the cross. Our faith looks back to Christ's work on the cross. It's the one and the same faith that trusts God to keep his word. The other day I was looking in the Guinness record books. You know the world records, the Guinness World Record books? I was looking in it, and it said this. A lady, and I'm going to get her name wrong, Maria del Carmen Busada Lara, was born in Spain January 5th, 1940. According to Guinness Record Books of World Records, she is the oldest lady ever to have a baby. She was 66 years old, 358 days. She had her baby in Barcelona on January 29th, 2006. There's a problem with their book. They miss Sarah. If you want to have great faith, go to Romans 4. Learn, get to know God. Find in his word something that you can trust. And believe with all your heart that God doesn't lie. And come to a place in your life where you believe no matter what's going on around you, God keeps his promise. Because remember, if you're not trusting God, if you're all worried, if you're fearing, what you really are saying is, God's not going to keep his word. God said something, but it's not true. Let's stand for closing word of prayer. Father God, help us to trust you. Not so our life will be better, but so that through our lives you may gain the glory. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.